Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty. Or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know I had my mic on here. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Monday, and it is the 14th of March in the year 2005. We're going to be, and I hope you won't tune out when I tell you what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to discuss Terri Schiavo this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to begin here first with our spiritual message. Hope you had a lovely weekend, by the way, and really thank you for being here tonight. This is from Matthew 25, excerpts from verses 35 through 46. This is in the red. This is what is attributed to sayings of Jesus. He said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat." That means food. It doesn't mean meat, actually, meat. Folks, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And I think we should remember that, shouldn't we, folks? The reason I said, please, I hope you don't tune out, because I have had, and I'm not saying a lot of people, a few people have said that I'm wasting precious time and your money, because you are the sponsors of this broadcast, talking about Terri Schiavo and what we just read. "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." That is why we're talking about Terri Schiavo tonight. Her execution is slated for Friday at 1 p.m., the beginning of a slow, agonizing death. And we have a guest with us this evening. Before we bring our guest up, with her permission, and I've already got it, I'm going to share with you folks, in fact, it's a piece that I sent over to Darren, and when he gets an opportunity, I've sent him four or five new pieces for Terri's section and have asked him if he would please bring Terri's section front and center again, and the way we did in October before last, when they had pulled the feeding tube. When you go into Sweet Liberty, any visitor that came in went directly into Terri's page, and if they wanted to bypass it, they can go down to the bottom of the page and click and go right into the Sweet Liberty website. But this this piece will be over there. This was sent to us by Melissa Roxanne. Terri's exit protocol, this is in quotes, says this document was to be used by medical personnel, and what is on this is actually a scanned-in, handwritten, two-page exit protocol for Terri Schiavo. And it was to be used by medical personnel at Hospice Woodside, which is owned by Hospice of the Florida Sun Coast, where George Filos, Michael's lead attorney and right-to-kill death cult member, as well as depraved lunatic, illegally admitted her to the prison from hell, masquerading as a hospice. This is by Susan Brinkman, CSNT correspondent. And I'm sorry, I didn't look up to see what CS&T means. It's a website, I think, or an organization. On October 27, 2003, Michael Schiavo the husband of the cognitively disabled Florida woman, Terry Schindler-Shivo, appeared on Larry King Live to explain why he was fighting so hard to remove his wife's feeding tube. His appearance was only days after the Florida legislature intervened to have Terry's feeding tube reinserted for the second time in 2 years. Michael Schivo insisted that he wanted to help his wife, quote, die with dignity. He told Larry King, quote, it's painless and probably the most natural way to die. Oh, yeah, dehydrate and starve to death when you're totally conscious. That's a very natural way to die, isn't it, folks? It is a very easy way to die, he said, probably the second best way to die, the first being an aneurysm. And that's end quoting Michael Schivo, the husband of Terry Schivo, Schindler Schivo, who has for 10 years been living with another woman, has sired 2 children by this woman. At the same time he was speaking on national television, Terry's medical file contained a document prescribing for her a slow and painful death by starvation and dehydration. Dehydration ought to always be mentioned first, because these people never die by starvation, folks. You can go a long time without food. You cannot go long at all without water. This document is called an exit protocol. The document contains explicit instructions for how Terry will be treated during the grisly series of events that will occur should the courts decide to withdraw her feeding tube. Terry's fate remains an active issue in both the Florida state and U.S. federal courts. The nurse who discovered the exit protocol, Cheryl Ford, RN, a Tampa nurse, was reviewing Terry's medical file at the request of the Schindler family when she found the document. For the benefit of our readers, Ford agreed to explain the document in detail. And what I'll read first is what was on the document, and then Nurse Ford's explanation of each part of it, folks. This says, it's handwritten, by the way, patient care notes. And then there's a little header that says the Hospice of Florida Suncoast, April 19th, 2001. Clinical pharmacy, medication review and symptom management. The patient is a 37-year-old woman in a vegetative state with no apparent signs of distress. Internal feeding tube to be discontinued on 4/20/01. That was the first time they tried to kill her. Now that is, okay, those were the notes on this patient care notes. And Nurse Ford says, this is a very critical piece of information from a nurse's point of view. We have a patient with no apparent signs of distress, and yet the enteral tube is going to be discontinued on 4/20/01. Well, this time it's 3/18/05, ladies and gentlemen. She said this is murder, and it's premeditated murder, because look at the dates. Notes were prepared the day before the tube was supposed to be withdrawn. What makes the death more difficult is that Terry is a healthy woman, weighing approximately 138.5 pounds, which means that she will endure longer than other patients who are in the midst of a natural death process. And Nurse Ford continued, I was an oncology, which is cancer, nurse. These people are very weak and gaunt. Their bodies are already shutting down, and their tube feedings are withdrawn when their body systems can no longer handle it. But Terry is not a cancer patient. That's what bothers me. She's a healthy, young woman. Here's one of the other. This goes on now. This is the patient care notes. It says, upon discontinuation of enteral feeding, the following signs/symptoms may or may not occur. The following is a brief list of symptoms for which to monitor and recommended interventions. Monitor symptoms of pain/discomfort. If noted, medicate with naproxen rectal suppository 375 milligrams. And that means Q8 means 8 times a day as needed. Monitor symptoms of pain and discomfort. We were told that this is a painless and dignified death, folks. If someone is in a persistent vegetative state, cannot feel pain. As Michael Schiavo and his attorney, George Filos, have consistently told the world, why do Terry's charts tell nurses how to treat her for pain? According to Nurse Ford, that is because Terry can and will feel pain during this process, and a lot of it. She said, think about what hunger pains are like. If you haven't eaten in a while, you start to get that gnawing feeling, almost a burning in your stomach. Most people don't extend themselves into the depths of hunger. They grab a cracker or bread if they're out shopping for a while just to make themselves feel better. Terry would not have this option, however. Within several hours, she'll start to feel this kind of hunger pain. Dehydration would only add to this discomfort. When she starts going into the dehydration stage, her metabolism will start to change. Her electrolytes will get unbalanced. She's going to get uncomfortable and will start to rise. Advanced a couple days without food or water, and now her mouth is parched. Her lips, her gums, her tongue will start to crack and bleed. The nasal cavities will start to dry, crack, and bleed. The stomach will get dry and shrink, causing vomiting and heaving, Nurse Ford said. Here's some more of the notes, patient care notes. This is a bullet, pulmonary. A, inability to clear secretions. Reposition and swab mouth. Consider scopolamine patch behind ear every 3 days. When you first go in, Nurse Ford says, when you first go into dehydration, your body will automatically compensate by making saliva. But when she gets into the stage where the stomach shrinks and nausea begins, they're going to stick a patch behind her ear for the nausea. What the patch also does is dehydrate you by taking away this fluid. And then the other, under pulmonary B, is dyspnea. Dyspnea. It says nebulize low dose, 2 to 5 milligrams, morphine sulfate, 4 times a day as needed. And Nurse Ford explains this as part of the patient care while she's dying, folks. Dyspnea. I might be pronouncing that incorrectly, is when you have difficulty breathing. What they're going to do is use a nebulizer the way you might use for asthmatics, only instead of giving a histamine to help her breathe, they're going to give Terry morphine sulfate, which only suppresses respiration more. In the later phases, she'll start gasping for air. In 7 to 9 days, as most of her body fluids are lost, her blood pressure will go down and her heart rate will rise. The blood will be shunted to the central part of the body from the periphery of the body, so that usually 2 to 3 days prior to death, the hands and feet become extremely cold. They become mottled and they have a bluish appearance. The eyes will become so dry the patient can't move them anymore because there's no fluid in them. All right, the next bullet here in the patient care from Hospice Woodside, multifocal myodinus, or terminal agitation, sometimes caused by electrolyte imbalance, it says. Consider diazepam, rectal administration, 5 to 10 milligrams. May repeat in 4 hours. If not resolved, then daily, twice daily if needed. And Nurse Ford explains that multifocal myoclonus means seizures taking place in various parts of the body. Because of the electrolyte imbalance, Terry will begin to have seizures. She'll start to twitch. You don't see this in an oncology patient because they're already dehydrated. Even the elderly who are going into the natural process of death, their bodies are doing what God created them to do they're slowing down. And she says our job as healthcare professionals at this point is to understand the death process and to oblige the process that God has given these people to help them in comfort measures, palliative care, not to enhance death. But Terry's not terminal, Ford said. What they're doing here is starving a healthy person to death. This is the only reason why she'll go into multifocal myoclonus. And at the last, this one of the last notes on the patient care notes for Terry Schiavo, while they're murdering her slowly, folks, grand mal seizure, it says, which is highly unlikely given current conditions and lack of contributing factors. And in parentheses, it says medications. Recommend diazepam 15 milligrams rectally as indicated in seizure management orders. And nurse, this is the last one, Nurse Ford explains, if she happens to make it into a grand mal seizure, they will give her 15 milligrams of Valium. The Valium won't make this easier. It will just help to bring her to death faster because she won't have the ability to fight her way out of it, Ford said. Her body will not be in good shape at this point. You wouldn't look at her and say she was comfortable. She's been without food and water for a long time. She's pretty much withered. Her skin is broken down. Her metabolism is broken down. Her kidneys haven't received anything. Her body is reacting to the lack of food. At this point, death is imminent. During the October 2003 food withdrawal, Ford saw Terry before the process began. She said they started off, listen to this, folks. This was in October of 2003. They started off by dressing her in wool sweaters and long pants, then wrapped her in a wool blanket to sweat her out to make her dehydrate faster. Ford was horrified, especially because, well, Ford said, and then this is not in a quote, it says she was horrified, especially because it was only October and it's still hot in Florida in October. So this is what they did to Terry in October. Dressed her in wool sweaters and long pants, wrapped her in a wool blanket to sweat her out. This is not, and this is Nurse Ford quoting, this is not a painless or dignified way to die. It's against the law to dehydrate and starve to death a prisoner on death row. Why should we allow it to be done to a disabled woman or anybody? The cruelty Ford has seen Terry endure is, quote, not even believable. She said in this case, Dr. Kevorkian would be more humane than what they intend to do to Terry. And that's the end of that, folks. And I thought, as painful as it is, that it would be important for us to know this, to be able to not just knock it off. Like, you know, somebody said to me, why are you bothering with one person? They're doing this to people all over the country and all over the world. They are. And Terry's case is a watershed case. This woman is cognitive. She laughs. She smiles. She giggles. She tries to talk. She sleeps. She wakes. And they're murdering her in cold blood before the eyes of the world is exactly what they're doing. And as I told you, Children Family Services in Florida had asked to have a 60-day stay so they could investigate the accusations or possibility of abuse by the husband. And the judge, black-robed Judge George Greer, denied he's denied the stay. He said they didn't do this the first two times. Why are they doing it now? He said it's just another trick, just to stave off, put another stay on the pulling of the feeding tube. However, this new order does not say that the feeding tube will be withdrawn. You know what the new order says, folks? And that's on our website, too. The new order simply says withdrawal of food and water. Withdrawal of food and water. So, now, that's what I wanted to do. going to bring our guest up, I want to read to you what Jesus said one more time. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Eleanor, are you with us, darling?
Well, I'm here, Jackie.
Thank you for being with us tonight.
It's very difficult to hear that, those notes of Nurse Ford. I can't imagine why every human being in the country isn't headed for Pinellas Park, Florida
at
this moment.
Well, maybe a lot of people will be, Eleanor. Maybe this time there will be a human shield formed around and in and through that hospice. And maybe people will just forget that there is some black-robed judge who ordered this. And maybe they'll just go get her and carry her to safety.
That's what's needed. I'm afraid the time for candlelight vigils is long past.
Those candlelight vigils, I heard about them. I read about them. And they, that's what I read, that the people were standing out there while Terry's food and water was being withheld, talking quietly and waiting for her to die, I guess.
That's incredible.
So anyway, Eleanor, as you know, and I'm letting you know, folks, Eleanor White, Eleanor was a guest with us. She has the website, raven1.net, and this is a website on, you have a new word for it, Eleanor.
Yes, our group is dealing with two curses. One of them is we call vigilante gang stalking, and the second one is electronic harassment. They combine to totally destroy the lives of selected people, which at this point in history is running around one person per 100. But,
According to statistics from England, yes?
Well, we have three statistics. We did a study ourselves of 12,000 people who wrote in, and that returned a 1 in 100 rate of people with the experience
and
symptoms.
The same thing that they came up with in England.
Yes. Then the British Home Office posted a 990,000 people out of about 60,000, or 60 million, sorry, at any one time in England are being stalked and harassed, and that's a little over 1 per 100. And the third one is a Swedish study on what's called mobbing, which is the in-the-workplace version of gang stalking, vigilante gang stalking, and there the scientist that studied it, he also turned up roughly 1 per 100 total population.
Well, that's three different studies then. Well, besides her website at raven1.net, folks, and that's like the bird raven and the numeral 1.net, Eleanor has been ceaselessly making calls, writing letters, sending emails, sending faxes. And one of them I sent over to Darren to post, Eleanor. The one where you emailed the Nurses Association in Florida, that when he gets around, you know, and able to do it, that will be on our website, New Issues for Terry, with the email address where people could do the same thing. And, folks, she's been using, as I said, her creative ingenuity in so many precious ways for Terry. And I asked her to come on tonight and talk to you about some of the things that she's done to give you ideas of what you might want to do.
Well, Jackie, the first thing is I converted the top one page of my website to Terry, and I'm assembling a list there of clickable email addresses for all the legislators and such other people as I can find. And so that's right near the top of raven1.net.
All right, that's great.
It's similar to what you're doing with your site.
Well, I know, but if you've got, because I know you have a slew of numbers and email addresses and fax numbers there, don't you?
Well, I do. I'm in the process of getting them up there, though. I'm a slow worker because I'm hit with fatigue attacks almost around the clock.
Uh-huh.
I only get about 2 or 3 hours of useful
yes.
work per day.
You also sent a fax to Sheriff James Coates, and
yes.
that's in the county. I have this in front of me.
Yes.
Do you have it there, or would you like me... Could I share?
No, I don't have it right now.
I have it in front of me, folks, and this is another one, very much like the one that she sent to the Nurses Association. And what Eleanor did was take the time here to quote the laws as quoted in the amicus brief that was filed in October of 2003 by Jeb Bush, Governor Jeb Bush, who literally said that depriving a person of food and water is murder. Well, what he said is it's the intentional killing, but he stated statutes and all of the laws that are already in place. And Eleanor did that, but before that, there was a message. And this is the message to Sheriff James Coates. It says, regarding the order to kill Terry Schiavo by denial of water, food irrelevant. Thank you, Eleanor. It says, Sheriff Coates, this is to remind you that you are the senior law enforcement officer in your jurisdiction. The Office of Sheriff was established that way so as to act on behalf of the people as opposed to government. In the matter of the court-ordered execution of Terry Schiavo on Friday, March 18, 2005, you have the solemn duty to be certain that that is a legal order. In Terry's case, okay, under Florida statutes, withholding water and food from a conscious, non-vegetative, disabled person is a felony. Here are the words of Governor Jeb Bush from his amicus brief on behalf of Terry in October 2003. And I read this to you. Eleanor used a lot of the statements that I used for you a couple of weeks ago, folks, the laws that are already in force. And she said that the text and more from the amicus brief may be quickly viewed at this website, and that is the sweetliberty.org website in Terry's section. And you can go read it for yourself, folks. And then she went on, and she said to Sheriff Coates, since Terry is not in a permanent vegetative state, clearly the law is about to be broken regardless of what a judge or appeals board says. They cannot nullify the law. Sheriff Coates, the whole world is watching, and the whole world has seen the video clips of a very responsive Terry Schiavo. If Judge Greer's court order makes it impossible for you to view those clips locally, you can see them here. And that's at raven1.net, Terry Bids. It is obvious that you and the Florida Department of Children and Families have more than enough justification to act to put Terry under their custody while the many allegations of wrongdoing by Terry's husband, Michael Schiavo, are investigated. The Department of Children and Family Services has asked for a very reasonable period of 60 days to delay Terry's execution, and Judge Greer turned them down. You can intervene, and in fact, being a sheriff, you are required to intervene. Don't allow your jurisdiction to be known best for torturing the disabled to death, Sheriff Coates. Think about this. Think about how this will play out in your conscience for the rest of your life. You are in the unique position of exercising your duty and becoming a hero, or turning away and becoming a part murderer. And it's signed, Eleanor White. We're going to take a break, and we will be back with Eleanor right after this, folks, and then you'll be hearing from Eleanor. Please stay with us. Get your pencil handy or your pen, and then you can get my address if you would like to help to sponsor this broadcast.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, folks, we're back with you. And I want to give you my address one more time in case you didn't get it. And this broadcast is solely listener-sponsored. And we're at about $6,000 in arrears with WWCR. More than that with WFAR. Nicholas has been just totally patient. The shortwave, without the shortwave, I wouldn't be doing the broadcast. I can tell you that because we've got about maybe 50 internet listeners. And so therefore, the money goes to WWCR first. The address is Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. Now, Eleanor is going to share some information with you that she heard Jack McLam talking about today. And I told her that I wanted to do a qualifying statement first. And it doesn't mean that everything Jack McLam says is a lie. Jack McLam is a traitor and a phony. And the reason I am saying this is I know it because when he was at the Shirley Allen rally, when Shirley Allen in Robia, Illinois, was surrounded by the state police, he made a statement that is on video. You can get the video from Fred Ehrlich if you want to, and you can hear it yourself. He made the statement that if he were the officer in charge of that standoff with Shirley Allen, that he would have given orders on several occasions or a couple of occasions for his men to open fire. In other words, he would have shot and killed the woman. And she was termed, finally, she was termed not insane, not a danger to herself or the community, and she was released without any charges against her. That's Jack McLam. We've got a caller here. We'll take it, Eleanor.
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Storm, I'm calling from New York.
Okay, Storm, now let's... Okay, go ahead.
No, I just have one question, and both of you, I just wanted to ask one sort of personal question on the subject, since you informed about this woman.
Yes.
Why are they trying to kill this woman?
Okay, we cannot go into that. Yeah, you go into the website, into Sweet Liberty Storm, and go over to right on the top right-hand page, and all of the information is there, honey. She was beat, obviously, by her husband. She was going to be divorcing him. And according to the bone scans that were done a year after she was entered into the hospital, the doctor who read it said the only time he had ever seen these particular neck injuries were in cases of strangulation. And so,
by foul play. Right.
Strangulation.
Well, that's foul play. When I say
okay,
foul play,
fine.
That's foul play.
Okay, I don't want to debate. We have a guest tonight. You ask a question, I'm answering. Probably they're trying to kill her because if Terry ever speaks, Michael Schiavo will probably burn in old Sparky.
Well, I mean,
Storm. Okay, we're not going to get into this,
okay.
Honey. Thank you. Okay, Eleanor. Eleanor. Hello. Folks, I have to disconnect. Evidently, Eleanor and I got disconnected. I'm going to be right back. Did we get disconnected? Hello?
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free.
Are you there, Eleanor? Hello? Eleanor?
Yes.
Hold on, honey. WFAR and came back in just to make sure Eleanor is with us. And Eleanor, I apologize for all these delays, honey.
Oh, no,
but I wanted to make the qualifying statement about Jack McLam, because I do not endorse him, and yet it doesn't mean that what he was saying isn't relevant. So you go ahead and share that with us.
Right, well, these items don't really have anything to do with Jack McLam. First of all, there's a website, lifenews.com, lifenews.com, and on there is an article by a Monsignor, a senior clergyman from the Vatican, and he, in no uncertain terms, says that this is a pitiless way to kill, and he said the Vatican fears that if this happens, this is going to be interpreted as approval for doing this thing all the time.
It's being done all the time anyway, isn't it, Eleanor?
Yes, and the current Pope says that the term vegetative state should not even be used about a human being. It's just they're never a vegetable. Anyway, that article is on lifenews.com, and you have to scroll down a way to find it.
Uh-huh.
The name Vatican is in there. The second item, there was a recent survey done of 857 people, and the question was, should the Department of Justice, the federal DOJ, investigate corruption in officials in Terry's case? And thanks to God, 86% of people said yes.
Wow.
And
so people are waking up, and you know what? This is the thing that's so wildly insane to me, is because this time around, her plight became international news, and if they do this on Friday and people let them do it, Eleanor, we may as well just fold it up, dig a hole, crawl in and pull the dirt over us.
Well, if I wasn't poor and stranded here in Hamilton, I'd be down there and I would give my life up to try and save her.
I know.
I mean, that's how important this is.
I know you would. I don't have any doubt that you would. We should give Sheriff Coates phone number.
Sure.
And I've got it here, folks. If you would like to write to Sheriff James Coates, Eleanor has a voice and a fax number. And a fax is real good, and also a voice. And sometimes you make the call and then you send the fax. And his voice number, his phone number is 727-582-6204. 727-582-6204. His fax number, 727-582-6459. The first the area code and the whatever the next three numbers are the same on both, 727-582. And the mail, the phone is 6204, and the fax is 6459. And as Eleanor says, time is of the essence. And I am going to prepare this and send it over to Darren so that people who can go in, who go into the website will have this information and may want, maybe if this sheriff gets enough notes like this, maybe he'll do something, because it's as Eleanor said, not only does he have the authority, he has the responsibility and duty, just as Governor Jeb Bush does, and knows it.
Well, let's hope he does.
So, Eleanor?
Well, I've been spending the weekend writing quite a few people. And I have this suggestion for people who want to participate in this campaign. And there are quite a few phone, fax, and even email addresses available from one page. And that is on the dioceseofstpete.org website. And you go into the parish directory, which is a menu item on the left. But I'll spell it for you. It's DioceseofstPete. It's run together. It's Diocese of St. Pete, with the St. being S-T, .org.
Okay.
And you
and go into the what directory?
Well, the parish, the listing of parishes within the diocese. And these are all the Catholic churches, and it includes Catholic priest residences and even convents and monasteries in that area. Now, my thought...
Are these people coming forth, Eleanor?
Not to me, but I sent them a pretty stunning series of letters urging and almost insisting that they go physically try to block this.
Uh-huh.
And I reminded them of the lives of the saints and martyrs. Now, these people are single.
They have no
children. Monks and nuns, they're not supporting families. They can go and do whatever they want in God's service.
Do you have these letters on your website?
No, they're similar to the ones I sent the sheriff, though. In other words,
uh-huh.
They're all pretty well templated from that one.
Uh-huh.
But the title I used on emails, I sent them emails too, is Terry Asks, : Where Are the Christians?
Okay, I'm going to ask you to re-email that to me, because
okay.
I remember seeing it.
Oh, yeah, you've gotten samples.
I know, I know that, but it could take me forever to find it.
I know.
And, you know, there's 40-some hundred emails sitting in there.
Yeah.
And I would like probably to get that one and put that on the website, too.
Okay, well, they're all similar, though, Jackie.
I know, honey. I do understand that. But if people want to send to their church, they can use the same information that you're sending to these religious people.
Yes.
And then if they want to send to the sheriff, there is already a letter there. They can use their own words or excerpt from yours or whatever. But I do know from past experience that when people have not done this before, they oftentimes just aren't sure what to say. But you know what? I've talked to one of our listeners, Gene Knight, and I want to acknowledge him. He's called me. He's gone over to the library to get information. He's made calls. And he shared with me some of the things that he said, and it was just perfect. And so, therefore, maybe this would be for people who aren't somehow, you know, the information or the words aren't coming forth for them.
Yeah. Personally, I think the title has a lot of impact. Terry Asks.
Right.
You know, and then, where are the Christians? Where are my legislators? I'm sending that one out to the legislators, all of them. And... put it on the basis that Terry's asking them personally.
Yeah.
And really, it's just repetitive. I just sit here and go between fax, email, and telephone all day long.
Whatever comes to mind, you're doing it.
Yeah. And it's all, the heart of what I'm doing is the amicus brief quote from your website.
Yes.
That's right in the middle of everything.
And that amicus.
So they can't avoid that.
Right. Yeah, that amicus brief said it all, didn't it?
Indeed.
Eleanor. Have you read the bill, the new bill they're messing around with and playing with there in Florida?
No, I've put all my time into output rather than doing much reading. Have you?
That's good. Yeah, well, no. But I'll tell you what I did do. Just a minute, I'm finding page one here. Because on page one, this frightens me, or it makes me concerned. And I'll tell you what. And I'm just going to read the very, this is a bill to be entitled, okay? An act relating to the withholding or withdrawal of nutrition or hydration from incompetent persons, creating Part 6 of Chapter 765 FS, providing a part title, providing guaranteed protections and presumptions, providing definitions. Now listen to this. Declaring that an incompetent person is presumed to have directed health care providers to provide the necessary nutrition and hydration to sustain life. In other words, it has to be a presumption that that's what she wants, that they want them to do. But it goes on, prohibiting a court, proxy, or surrogate from withholding or withdrawing nutrition or hydration except under specified circumstances. Providing that the presumption to provide nutrition and hydration is inapplicable under certain circumstances.
Oh, that's deadly.
Yep. Prohibiting an inference of incapacity due to a person's developmental disability, requiring a guardian to have spent, requiring a guardian to have spent a specified amount of time with the patient or ward before seeking to have nutrition or hydration withheld. I don't know, and because I haven't read the whole thing, I don't know what that is supposed to do, Eleanor. If I sound muffled, I'm sorry, honey. I was looking for that. This is the last of that title. That's the whole title here. So it says in this that this bill is requiring a guardian to have spent a specified amount of time with a patient or ward before seeking to have nutrition or hydration withheld from the patient or ward.
Well, I mean, that Michael will just walk right in and take advantage of that with no trouble.
That's right. That's what he's done, isn't it? Well,
I don't understand why, and the same is true here in Canada, why there are no checks and balances on judges.
Because we're under Talmudic law, Eleanor, that's why, darling. And I got clear on that when I was writing the book in the process of, compiling the Jewish persecution. You will discover that we're under Talmudic law at this time. And the courts, you know, when you first notice this, think about this. I noticed this in the... Clinton-Gore, you know, in that election with the Florida debacle. You see, the state legislatures were sitting there on their thumbs, not knowing what to do. Oh, we don't know what to do. They are the lawmakers. They could unseat the judges. They could take the judges off the seats. But the judges legislated from the bench there. And, in fact, there was a resolution that David Horton dictated to me over the telephone that we put up on the website at that time that basically said that they have the authority to get rid of the judges because they legislated from the bench, but they could also pass a resolution declaring the thing done. But what happened is for weeks, the courts kept the American people breathless. And every time we turned around, there was a new brief being introduced, there was a new hearing, there was a new appeal, and I sat there saying, whoa, they're getting the people used to the courts running the show. And that's exactly what's happening, Eleanor.
I understand. I'm just saying that it doesn't seem like the checks and balance system is complete.
Well, see, they claimed, Greer claimed in his, you probably read it, when he denied Children Family Services, he said that it would be between the separation, it would be a, like an infraction,
yeah.
of the separation of the executive and judicial branch. In other words, I don't care what the governor says, I don't care what the law is, but don't you intervene, because there's this law in Florida that calls for the separation between the branches of government, which there's, of course, they, just like they take advantage of the commerce clause in the Constitution, anything between state lines, over state lines, is interstate commerce. And they have taken control of it, and that's how they've done it. They just do it.
What's typically done in government, when you want to be able to exert a check or balance, but normally preserve separation of powers, is that you make it so that a large enough majority in one of the branches can override the other. So it has to be a very high number, like 75% or higher. And I'm surprised that isn't there.
Judge Greer changed the definition of permanent vegetative state from the bench. The law exists, and under the law, Terry is not. Under the definition of the law on the books in Florida, Terry does not fit that definition. But he changed it to say that they had to be responsive at all times. And because sometimes maybe she's sleeping when they're trying to get her to open her eyes or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'll respond three times, and the fourth time she won't.
Sure.
So they say, oh, well, that's just knee-jerk. You know, that's like chickens flop around after their head's been cut off.
Mm-hmm.
When she laughs, smiles, giggles, tries to talk, that's just responses. But it has nothing to do with any brain activity, because they declare her brain a total nothing but a blank, a big old black spot in her brain. That was killed when he tried to kill her, and that was a lie too.
Well, I mean, anyone can see that who watches the videos. The fact that the judge banned showing of the videos in his jurisdiction right away is a red flag. Because,
that's right.
You know, what purpose other than covering up a crime would there be to do that?
Mm-hmm. So. What would you like to see happen, Eleanor?
I'm afraid, you know, having read a little bit of history in my 63 years, that only a very large number of people being physically there and very angry, shouting and putting up resistance, is going to make any impression at all.
That's right. I think you're right.
A group outside with a candle is going to do absolutely nothing.
That's right.
And it's 3 days to go.
And I wonder, where's the militia?
I mean, I'll tell you.
Where are the militia, actually?
I watched a squirrel butchered by a hawk, and other squirrels were trying to get in there and save that squirrel.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, aren't human beings at least up to that standard?
I don't know. Today, what do you think?
It doesn't look like it. Especially Christians. Where are the Christians? Where are they?
Oh, they're taking the Seder meal in the synagogues today. That's where the Christians are, honey. They've gone Jewish. They've gone Talmudist. Aren't you aware of that for the most part?
Oh, I'm aware of.
And they worship a God that calls for killing, slaughter, rooting out, pulling down, utterly destroying, curses, that is, slavery, it condones slavery. That's what's happened to Christians, darling. They don't read the four little tiny gospel sections in that huge, humongous, many-page Bible. You know, one-tenth of that so-called Christian Holy Bible contains the four Gospels with statements allegedly made by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
A whole religion made around a precious, loving soul who came here, as he said, to bear witness unto the truth, and they don't even listen.
Right.
And that's what's happened to the Christians, and it's part of the plan. And there are many, many, many so-called Christian ministers on the air today. I mean, they own the airwaves, even shortwave airwaves for the most part, and they're the same. They're all the same.
Yes, I've met a little bit of resistance from some of the people answering the phone for the senators and representatives. In fact, two of them got really snippy and said that, Representative Kim Burfield and Representative Mandy Dawson will not get involved in this. And I said, you're involved in this as a result of your office.
Yeah, you bet.
And this is what you're bumping up against. That's why we need numbers. Numbers count in this.
Well, maybe right now then would be a plea for anyone listening who has, no matter where you are, if you have the wherewithal to go to Florida, be there, and be there bodily, and don't just stand with a candle in your hand. And call your friends in Florida, any friends that you have that you could get to go over there, if you can't go, and get the information, get the word out, folks. Get the word out.
And that word is murderer and felony. Those two words should be bouncing off the walls of
that
hospital.
It is a crime being committed. It is, as Governor Jeb Bush said in his amicus brief, it is the intentional killing of a human being. And then he twiddles his thumb and says, I wish there was something we could do. So this is, I guess this is what we would ask people to do. And make your call. Send your emails. We're out of our hour. Folks, you search your heart. And you do as you are led to do. And remember what Jesus said. That the least, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Eleanor White, God bless you, honey.
God bless.
And thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for picking up the phone.
Okay. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow night.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
How would you like to add 20 years to your life? Dr. Earl Mandel, the world's number one leading authority on health and...